Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
In all likelihood, we will pass it out of committee, send it directly there with a legal brief pointing out the reasons why we think he is in contempt. There is a legal question whether or not if you have a pardon, you can still plead the fifth. And that is the question the Department of Justice will have to determine and whether or not to file contempt. A million Americans died. 15 million people may have died worldwide. This is not an obsession with him. It's an obsession what caused this.
So, you know, that's Rand Paul in the aftermath of the hearing with Dr. Fauci yesterday, where he took the fifth, I think it was 111 times.
The crimes that we are aware of are lying to Congress, destroying public records. Those are the two main categories that we looked at yesterday.
We've got Charles Lipson back with us, professor emeritus at the University of Chicago. He writes for free at charleslipson.com. Good afternoon, Charles. How are you?
I would like to answer, but on advice of counsel.
Yeah, you might as well take the fifth, right? That would be consistent. What color tie do you have on today, Charles? That was one of the questions from our center, Senator Hawley. He wouldn't do that one either, you know.
Let me explain why he didn't do that one and where I think he's fallen into a trap, which is not quite the same as the one that Senator Rand Paul said. He didn't answer that because the courts have ruled that when you answer one question, you've opened
right.
the door and you have to start answering the others. You can't answer selectively.
Right. Senator Hawley probably knew that, too, because he is a lawyer.
Right. Why it was performative and theatrical. But the bigger problem, I think, in pleading the fifth and the reason he pleaded the fifth was because even if he was pardoned for something, if he says something that is arguably not true, then he could be potentially prosecuted for that. Here's the problem. What I said earlier about starting to testify to things you want and then not to others, the courts have ruled that an opening statement is testimony. And he made an opening statement. All he had to do was make that opening statement before he came in, but he didn't. He made it before the committee. And I think the courts have ruled in the past, and I think will rule this time, at least if they don't get, you know, Judge Boasberg, that he doesn't have the right to plead the fifth. Of course, pleading the fifth this many times, it's just it damages his reputation. But what really damages his reputation is the contrast between what he was saying privately, which we now know from his diaries, and what he was saying publicly. And those two just don't match.
Charles, it's unbelievable. I've spent much of the last 24 hours. I'm not saying I'm obsessed with this, but I've seen a lot of the social media reactions. And unfortunately, I still pop around on Facebook. And I use Facebook mainly to put up pictures of my bunny and my kitten and, you know, my wife and my daughter and stuff like that. I don't do politics on Facebook. I learned that a long time ago. Every once in a while, though, I can't help myself. And, you know, the last 24 hours has been an example. Because why this is a left versus right issue makes no sense at all to me. But the people on the left, and these were the we love masks, you know, mask up people, I guess. They wanted the schools closed. I have no idea. But they've clearly not taken any time to read the diaries and compare and contrast, to your point, the different things that are in there compared to what he actually said in public. I mean, just the social distancing thing alone, pulling that out of thin air. But there's a guy who, I don't even know this guy, but apparently we're friends on Facebook, and he's trying to share recommendations for books, and he supports Dr. Fauci, and he says, wanted this out there. He actually asked AI, what are the top 2-3 most credible books detailing the events? Well, I'll tell you what one of them is. It's David Zweig's book that I just featured in the last hour. But one of the things that he says is that if you read these books, you're going to come away with a much better perspective on why scientists and the experts in public health are needed. I would actually go in the opposite direction, because we learned very effectively, and we're learning even more this week, that those experts are not to be trusted.
Well, I would draw one distinction here, and that's a distinction between honest mistakes and mistakes that are CYA.
Right.
Okay. And I think there was a lot of CYA, a lot of power overreaching. And I've got to tell you, I'm looking at one of my Facebook posts here, which is the post itself shows a picture of Missouri Senator Hawley interrogating Fauci. And I say, this is brutal. Hawley brings receipts and leaves Fauci bleeding and mortally wounded on the battlefield he never expected to visit. And then the first 3, 4, 5 comments are from people who say, you know, Fauci should receive sainthood. And everything was just performative and so forth. And then the next one says Fauci is guilty of millions of counts of manslaughter. So, I mean, it's like all of American politics congealed in one salad.
I think, and I've said this multiple times, I think you have to allow for leeway in March and April in particular. A lot of unknowns, right? A lot of unknowns.
Right.
But as David pointed out in the last hour, and this was something that I was very emphatic about in the summer of 2020, because I knew my daughter was starting kindergarten, this was not affecting kids, young people. I mean, when you really crack into the numbers, it was mainly deadly to people over 70, even between the ages of 60 and 65. I think 60, it started ramping up. But clearly, when you were over 70 and then into the 80s, that's where the numbers were focused. Now, on younger people, and I remember this, not to be mean, but when they showed someone that was 35 or 46 or somebody who was younger, and by the way, the media always tilted it in that direction, they were always people that were overweight and had comorbidities. Now, I'm saying not saying that they deserve to die, but there were factors here that played into different people's health situations that should not have been applied to 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 10-year-olds and all these other people.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
They also, the public health officials, if you tested positive for COVID and you died, let's say, of stage 4 cancer, they called it a COVID death.
Right.
I used to say to friends, for many years, a professor at the University of Chicago, and we claimed, you know, a billion Nobel Prizes in the real fields, I should say. But I once joked that we counted as one of our Nobel Prizes anybody who passed through O'Hare Airport. And they sort of did that with COVID. There was a lot of over. You were talking about kindergarten. I want to tell you a story before we move on to the latest disasters.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Iran. We'll talk about Iran here in a second. Yeah.
Okay. But I want to tell you a story that I just heard today. I saw it online, actually. And it was a person in her 30s talking about her beloved first grade teacher.
Okay.
And everybody loved her. And at the end of the year, she said, "Everybody who would like to stay back with me for another year, raise your hand." And everybody raised their hand. And she picked out one kid. And this woman said, "I didn't realize until recently that that was her way of holding him back for a year."
Hmm. That's interesting, right?
Is that brilliant?
Yeah.
To make it feel like he was special. He got picked out. I'm telling you, if your daughter has great teachers, she is fortunate. And for me, as somebody who taught at the college level for many years and maybe doing some more teaching in the future, it's just so touching to see somebody remembering really great teaching that many years later.
That is awesome. That really is. And my daughter, you know, we've been afforded very, very good teachers. We're in a very good school district. I just wish that, you know, and this all came bubbling under the surface for me a few months ago when she had her, they don't really do a graduation ceremony, but she's going from fifth grade to middle school. So they did like this little mm-hmm. ceremony, and they showed all these pictures when these kids were masked up. And, you know, again, my daughter's doing fine, but education experts, even her teachers, will tell you that they see evidence of these kids being behind. So, you know, for people who love Dr. Fauci, they love his celebrity, they think he did nothing wrong, that he's a hero, how can you not at the very least look at some of the aspects of this virus where we completely mismanaged and did things that we shouldn't have done? Because in my opinion, it doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter which side of the aisle you're on, whether you want to demonize Dr. Fauci or not. There were a lot of mistakes that we made that we should learn from. I mean, there is really nothing that makes me more angry that's happened in this country in the last 20 years than what happened with COVID.
Absolutely. There were mistakes and there was deceit.
A lot of deceit.
And there was suppression of alternative views. The deceit and suppression of alternative views, including people losing their jobs and all sorts of things, doctors, for simply voicing what we now know were actually correct views. But the point is, one of the values of free speech, and I'm a big free speech advocate, is that you hear different views and people can make up their own mind. We also know that states like Florida, which basically remained open, have suffered far fewer right. of these setbacks.
Right. And so Missouri's in the same boat because we didn't keep things closed as much. Charles Lipson here, professor emeritus at the University of Chicago. All right, let me shift here into some foreign policy and geopolitics, because it almost seems, because of the Fauci diaries, because of some of the other things that have happened with things domestically. I'm going to talk here in a couple of minutes about these young girls that were accosted at the Seattle Storm game. But it almost seems like nobody's talking about the war with Iran. Now, we had an attack that was, I guess, inappropriate on the part of the Iranians. I think I said Iraq. And we responded to that. But Charles, what in the world is going on? I have no idea how to even assess the current situation in Iran with this war.
Well, there were several weeks of bombing. We had two more weeks to go. Trump thought he could get a deal. They paused, but instead of pausing for a short period, the Iranians wanted to drag it out, and the administration allowed them to do so. When that sort of cold peace was broken when the Iranians fired on U.S. bases. Now, we took down the missiles, but they also have activated a parallel group, the Houthis, in Yemen to try to block the Red Sea, which goes through the Suez Canal. And they recently, Iran fired on Egypt. So they're trying to spread the war. Here's what I think Trump's big decision. Trump can't pull out. And I think what the public sees is high gas prices at a time of great uncertainty because of AI and a lot of other changes in the economy and likely rises of interest rates in the near future. And there's been inflation. So I think what Iran would like to do is drag it out. And any time they can spike fuel prices, they will do so up to the election, hoping to take the Republicans out of power and hamstring Trump going forward. Trump has to understand that, and I think that that will ultimately mean he can't just let them drag it out, and he can't let them get into another five-month negotiation, because what they broke was the only clear part of the memorandum of understanding, which was that they would allow the straits to be open. They didn't do it. They started firing on ships that were going through.
Why would anyone, myself included, be hopeful that any of this is going to settle down or be, you know, reaching more of a conclusion or, you know, finishing the job by the first week in November? Because we're almost at August here, okay? I don't see how this is going to clear up here in a couple of months.
I think that you're probably betting on the right side. That is, imagine what Trump has been very, very reluctant, understandably so, and so have the Republicans in Congress, to say anything about regime change. And the reason they've been reluctant is experience. In most cases, it was easy to take out the old regime, but hard to stand up an effective new one in its place. In the case of Iran, it's hard to take out the old one, and it will be hard to stand up anything in its place because they've decentralized all the decision making. There are a lot of people at the provincial level across Iran that can that have arms and can fire. So I think what you're likely to see, though, is Trump ramping up the bombing, and there is a war in the north with the Kurds coming in, and the pressure, financial pressure on Iran is very great. I should add that China, which is aiding Iran, is making a grave mistake, because as long as this war continues, China won't be able to get any oil.
Yeah, that's kind of fascinating. I'd love to know where that's going to head. Charles Lipson here. One final question. This is important. We had an intense debate earlier in the show. Charles, I'm going to drag you into this debate. My colleague Sue is going to do traffic here in a couple of moments. My friend Sue Thomas, she's having the show over. If you were in town, we'd love to have you, Charles. But the topic is whether or not, now you live in Chicago, so you know the ketchup on a hot dog debate. I lose that battle. I do put ketchup on a hot dog. Do you allow for ketchup on a bratwurst, Charles Lipson? Yes or no?
No.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
I do not allow ketchup on darn near anything.
Charles, I'm getting smoked on this. I feel like my position is correct, and there's nobody agreeing with me. Not even you. You've let me down this afternoon.
I am so sorry. You should also listen to Norm MacDonald's discussion of ordering a German bratwurst.
Oh, I love Norm MacDonald. He was awesome. I'm going to look that up.
A Polish sausage. A Polish sausage. That's what it was.
I will Google that right now, Lipson. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon. We'll see you, Charles.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.